Hallelujah. May the peace of Christ, the risen one, be with you all. I love this song. Can we sing that last part again? Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voice, the Lord is near. Amen. What a joy to be here this morning. Since I got to know you, this church, many years ago, I have followed you, and I thank you, you have, and more than that, you are what most of the Protestant denominations are thriving to have and to be, which is a diverse group, people of many walks of life and places to worship together, to wrestle with the things of this faith together and to live together. So I thank God for you. And I praise God for what you are here and for what you are doing. And as for me, you, it is such a blessing for me to be at Reverend Chris and Andrew and Jonick's house too. You are blessed to have them here. You are so blessed. I repute Reverend Chris as one of the very best pastors of our denomination. And she's been actually my pastor also for at least 16 years. And I can say that she has saved my life in some occasions that I was going through hard situations, and she was there for me. And she's always been on the road of my life. And I thank God for you, Chris. And so there's Andrew, whom I admire so much. Andrew, everything he does with this high sense of quality, everything. If he cooks, he cooks so well. I mean, I had to go into serious prayer of confession last night after the dinner that he prepared. Gluttony was all over me. I said, God, forgive me. I couldn't resist. It was, please talk to Andrew. No, it's not me. But if he teaches, he's a great professor. If he researches, he's one of the most important leading voices in the field of economy in our country. So I'm a great fan of you, Andrew. And then there's Anne and Jonick that I saw when they arrived and all their movements now. And I just cannot stop smiling. I see how great they are too. And on top of that, all of this joy, I also have my niece and my nephew, Rebecca and Hanan, who are visiting me here in the United States and making me company. So you can see how overflowing with joy and gratitude my heart is. But let's get to the text now. Today we have the story of two disciples, right? We all know the story well. We have one that we know the name, Cleopas, and somebody else whom we know nothing about it, but all we know that they were followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And so at this point of our text, they are going back home. They have been in the city, and they have witnessed to the whole set of events around their master. They have seen Jesus' trial, accusations, the verdict of his death, the carrying of the cross, the crucifixion, his death. And the reason of their lives, they saw the reason of their lives collapsing right in front of their eyes. Their master was turned into public shame, exposed like a thief, a robber, a killer. After 3 days, they had to go home since nothing happened after that. 3 days of silence, of mourning, our frustrations. Where do we go now? They might have asked. Because, you know, Jesus' disciples are all fully into this project, into this ministry, into this new proposal to the world. And now, the long journey home was a sign that everything had fell apart, fallen apart, and there was nothing left besides good memories. The long journey home was an attempt to collect the pieces of this fractured dream, a movement of change that now needs to be packed up and abandoned. Verse 21 says, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. High hopes they had. They thought that not only their lives, but their country would be redeemed. Jesus' ministry was not only about the individual lives, but also about the individual lives and the change of a larger system of structures. So with Jesus, the Messiah, things could actually go to a place that would be more fair and justice and just for all. That a new moment and a new life was actually happening at that time. But now, after the death of Jesus and their hopes, they are going back with their bags packed, their gaze low, their heads down, their hearts wounded, their hands empty. And the text says they look sad. When Jesus said to them, says verse 17, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And they stood still, perhaps looking to the horizon, looking sad. Isn't that also the story of our life sometimes? If you are at that part of your journey where your dreams might be failing, things are eroding, your faith perhaps is escaping you, and you are alone, or you're sad, and you see that you do not have much energy to keep on going. Perhaps the story of these disciples can be a good word for us today. And if we stay on the road a little longer, perhaps somebody will be on our road to change things around a little bit or a lot. That's why I believe that this gospel promises are so powerful. That I continue to believe that because there is somebody on our road, always, that I believe that this world will change and be transformed. Something will happen, and then we will come to this day of this utopia where everybody will have access to water and food and shelter and health insurance and dignity. There is somebody on my road telling me, "Why you look so sad?" There is somebody on my road saying, "What happened?" There is somebody on my road saying, "Don't give up. Don't give in." So don't forget, there is somebody on your road right now, warming your heart so that you can believe once again. There is somebody in your path, perhaps a stranger, who will visit you and we'll visit your story. And we'll walk with you. And we'll warm your heart. Receive you in their home. Prepare a whole meal. And turn your road from loneliness to being together with somebody else. Who is in your path right now? Who is in your path that looks like that stranger of our story? Who's warming your heart? Who's telling you why you look so sad? Why you don't believe anymore? Why you walk as if nothing is happening? Why are you walking like you're a zombie? In our, you know, movies and books and all of that now, right? Dead but alive. Alive but dead. But then the text talks about a stranger. Arrival of a stranger. Someone who comes, approaches these disciples without saying the name and start asking questions. Huh, isn't it scary? You're walking and then somebody says, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why you look so sad? I say, excuse me? Do you know me? Have I seen you before? Can you mind your road? I'm going here. You're going too. Okay. Someone approaches you and asks you, how are you doing? I mean, on those times, on that time, those walks, those roads were frequently used by so many people, right, to walk. But there were a lot of thieves along the way. So it was a scary place to walk. Perhaps they had to work on themselves with this approach. They had to welcome this unnamed stranger. And that's the worst stranger, is the one that we do not have the name or we don't know where they come from. Because then we cannot access. If we cannot know, we cannot control. If we cannot control, we are very vulnerable. And this stranger, particularly in our text, is a little bit clueless, isn't he? Because he is like coming as if nothing had happened. Say, hey, how you doing? And then, excuse me, do you know what just happened here this weekend? There was this massive thing happening here. And where have you been? And they start talking. See, the journey of that road was about 7 miles, which is about 2 hours walking. For me, I think it would be a little longer. But lots of time with a stranger. I mean, we can handle, like, small conversation with a stranger for, you know, 2 minutes when you're getting your coffee and then move on. But 2 hours? And the worst thing, this stranger takes over the conversation. And not only takes over the conversation, but keep talking. And never stop talking. And even worse than that, when you think that this stranger has already done all the wrong things that he was supposed to do, he's a little off. He says, he walks with them, and then they say, how foolish you are. He's just arrived. You just arrived. You have no clue what's happening. You don't know us. And you're telling us how foolish we are. But as this stranger is talking, something is happening to them. Something is happening to their hearts. It's like the Wesley saying that when he was hearing the words of Romans, he's saying, all of a sudden, I felt my heart getting warm. Oh, brothers and sisters, when was it that the last time that you felt your heart being warm? That you heard somebody, that you see that there's this spring of new life gushing through you. When was the last time you felt that there was something warming your heart, bringing a kind of life that you either didn't know or you need or you know just from afar? Or from a memory of many years ago? When was it that your heart was warming up and you were seeing that somehow there's this life coming in and through you, and you actually don't even know what to do with it because it's so intense? When was it that you felt freshened up by life again? The joy of living, the joie to live. How was it? When was it? How long ago? I hope you would say, just this morning. Oh yeah, I woke up and I looked around and I saw people that I loved and I said, "Woo, God, thank you." Or I woke up, there was nobody there, but I know that my family is somewhere else and "Woo, God, I thank you." Just because you woke up and said, "Oh my goodness, I'm alive again today. God, thank you. Another day. Just another day. Hallelujah." I don't want to take this life for granted. I don't want to take my waking up for granted, because this is a new and merciful act of love given by God to you and to me. So at the very beginning, at the dawn, as soon as you wake up, you should say, "Oh, my heart is already burning." As we walk on that road, we forget things, right? Aristotle would say that we are forgotten beings. We keep forgetting things. And you know why we come to church every Sunday? Do this in? Because we forget. That's why we keep having to remember ourselves. We have to keep remembering ourselves of this love. We have to keep remembering ourselves that God has given us this life. Otherwise, we forget. And pretty soon, we'll take that precious gift of life that God has given to us as a given. Or this community as a given. Or your family as a given. And we keep forgetting things because we're so entrenched into our things that we get this tunnel vision that we cannot see anybody, anything else. But there's a point that we collapse, because we are not enough for ourselves. We need somebody else. We need to know that there is somebody on our road to make us going. So when we forget these things, that's when the stranger comes to us again and say, "How foolish you are." Because you just forget. And when this stranger was telling his disciples how foolish you are, it's because they have seen Jesus doing all these things, and in 3 days, it was all gone. How foolish you are. And we remember this thing on Sunday, and on Monday we live as if this has nothing to do with our lives. How foolish we are. We enjoy this gathering together, but on Tuesday we forget that we are a blessing to each other. And then we think, "I don't need them perhaps." How foolish we are. And we take for granted our family, who's there for us. How foolish we are. And we forget to look at each other and pause a little longer in our eyes. And just like, even if you don't need to say it, just to pause a little longer, Lydia, so that you will know that I don't take you for granted. That without you, my life would not be that good. And we forget that we have to care for each other's lives, full lives. If we have enough to eat, if we have a chance to have education, if we all have health insurance, and if we don't pay attention to those things, how foolish we are. And worst of all, When along our road we forget that there is somebody. There is somebody on our road to change everything time and again. Were not our hearts burning, they say at the end of the day, when Jesus has already gone, they look at each other and say, were not our hearts burning when he was speaking to us? We should be a people, not like, we are known, the Presbyterians are known to be very, yes. Proper and in order, right? We don't go much with emotions, right? Because that's too a bit of a dangerous place to go, right? And then it can get messed up. I mean, yeah, you don't know what to do with this thing. And okay, let's keep some distance and very, very rational. So God is always here, right? You understand it well. You believe it properly. Boom. That's how you do. But that's why we have to have people from all other cultures, because then some other people are pure heart. And they love to hug. And talk about life. And keep talking. Like me. That's a good balance. You help me to think. And I'll help you to feel. And we get mixed up in all of that. So then, at some point, we don't know who's thinking, who's feeling anymore. But there is this experience of a burning heart that we all have to go through. If your heart has never been burnt by Jesus Christ, there's something that still needs to happen with you. Something that just catch you, that you have no sense of agency, no sense of control. This something that comes from God and takes you and say, you are mine now. You have always been mine since the beginning of times. You have been mine, says the Lord. And we do remember that a temporal love that comes way before everything, when we remember our baptism, that God has claimed you over those waters. So I'm here today to remind you that there is somebody on your road. And I'm here because I need you to remind me that there is somebody in my path. So that we can feel alive again. So that we can sing again. So that we can believe again. So that we can face life with courage and not with fear. So that we'll say, oh, this road is so tough. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know that my brothers and sisters are with me and that there is somebody on my road, and so I'll go. At the end of the day, this stranger had impacted them so much that they said one of the most beautiful prayers in the Christian tradition. Stay with us because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. Because there was somebody on their road, they kept repeating it, please, stay with us. Stay with us. That's our prayer to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, stay with us. Because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. There was somebody on their road. Can you see that? How that presence transformed them? There is somebody on your road. Before before you were born. It is Jesus. There is somebody walking along with you in your road, either silent or speaking. Right now, it is Jesus. There is somebody who will always be on your road. It is Jesus. So now I want you to do like the black church does. You turn to your brother and to your sister and you say this: brother or sister, there is somebody on your road. It is the risen Christ. Turn around, turn to somebody next to you and say, brother and sister, there is somebody on your road. The risen Christ is in your road. Hallelujah. Turn around and say it again. There is somebody on your road. Somebody who's risen, Christ Jesus. So now let's say it out loud, everybody together. There is somebody on your road. There has been somebody on your road. There will be somebody on your road forever. So let your heart be warmed. And don't take anything for granted. Because there is somebody. Hallelujah.